Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, broadcasting live from my cozy little warm house this morning in Florissant, Missouri. The beginnings of winter has arrived, and while the leaves are almost falling off the trees, it is in the low 30s, which is very cold. And so keep warm this morning if you live in Missouri. Winter is just around the corner. Before I do my teaching series this morning on the Ten Commandments, I want to take just a minute to recognize the dear people of Iran. This past Sunday, they were devastated by a 7.3 fierce earthquake at the border of Iran and Iraq. And as of today, the latest tally count, and this changes almost every day, but as of today, Thursday, November 16th, it is reported that over 600 people have been killed, while the injured toll is rising every moment, 7,460 people. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has extended his grace and kindness to the Iranian people, offering to send in Red Cross and to help them, which I think is a wonderful humanitarian gesture. But the government of Iran, of course, would never share the money that we would send them if we could, dime of it. And so it leaves us at a very vulnerable situation. The very best but the most important thing we can do is to pray for the Iranian people, that God would bring hope and healing to them at this very critical, disastrous time. And they're on my hearts every day. When I see the pictures, the videos, it's heart-wrenching. Young children pulled out of the rubble, mothers kneeling beside their dead children, crying, ranting, raving. It just breaks my heart. And so please join me this morning in thinking about the Iranian people, praying for their healing, for their hope at this very, very critical time. Excuse me. This morning on the Cross in the Desert, I want to continue my teaching series on the Ten Commandments, the law of perfect freedom. And today we are talking about the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Any of us who watch the news, who listen to the news, who survey the internet, are very aware that our culture is obsessed with sex. Just take, for an example, the recent revelations about Judge Roy Moore, improper sexual conduct with younger girls, or about Harvey Weinstein, the number of women that he violated so that they could get a job in the Hollywood movie industry. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that people are obsessed with sex. Look at the many challenges to the Christian faith with the same-sex marriage, with the various scandals that you see almost every day, accusations. It is very easy to see that our culture has twisted the command of God. And so today we talk about a very, very sobering command. We're talking about the subject of adultery. Probably nothing has destroyed more marriages and broken up families than adultery. And while social science experts point to a decrease in the divorce rate, what they do not report is that many people are living with someone formally being married because they have been betrayed before by an unfaithful partner or spouse. And there are now even websites that provide married people with an opportunity to meet someone interested in having an affair. For these reasons and others, a study of the subject of adultery is so vital. If we are to ever have healing in our society and in our social institutions, we need to go to the scriptures to find hope and healing. One thing before I begin this topic that I have said many, many times before. The Ten Commandments is God's holy written moral prescriptive. It's God's holy law. If you want to know about morality and what God thinks about morality and what his prescription of morality is, go no further than the Ten Commandments. But I want to make this suggestion. We need to look at the whole of Scripture and understand that no one is saved through the keeping of God's law, because we're imperfect, sinful people who break God's law almost every day. And so the commandments are holy, and this is God's moral prescription for our society, but we are not justified through the keeping of it. Instead, the Ten Commandments serve as a directive, as a revelation of us as sinful people, and it points to Jesus Christ as a Savior, as our only hope. Therefore, no one is justified by the keeping of God's law. But that doesn't change the seriousness and the holiness of his law. I want to talk this morning about adultery. I want to quote what Jesus said about the spirit of the law. And this is very important because Jesus makes it very clear that the physical act of adultery, as serious as it is, there is a deeper problem going on. It's the spirit of the law. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 27 through 28, on the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Ouch. If we're honest, all of us as Christians, and we should be, all of us have looked at women in some form or another, whether it's in a shopping mall, whether it's in a movie setting, whether if it's in a video, and we have broken this command. This command reveals that our hearts are sinful. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so, therefore, doesn't that mean something to us as a church, that we should be very careful about the movies we watch, the videos we watch, because we put ourselves up, we set ourselves up every day through choices. And Jesus says, look, the physical act, that's serious. But here's where it begins, in the heart. That's where adultery begins. The word adultery is commonly defined as voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. And this definition tells us that at least one person in this physical relationship is married. And the word adultery has the word adult as its root. When we think of the word adult, we think of someone who is of a certain age. However, historically, when you look at this word, the word adult referred to a time when someone was no longer innocent or pure. Now, I want you to hear a little bit about this word. In the pharmaceutical and chemical industry, adulterate is commonly defined as rendering poor in quality by adding another substance, typically an inferior one. This is according to the pharmaceutical and chemical definition. Now, in the early 16th century, the word adulterate meant corrupted. Simply stated, something that is adulterated is no longer pure. An example would be a chemical substance or drug that has had other chemicals added that corrupts or dilutes its purity. Likewise, adultery corrupts a marriage so that it is corrupted or no longer pure. And the Hebrew word for adultery is nap. It's used 31 times in the Old Testament. The literal translation refers to adultery or breaking wedlock. The Greek word for adultery is meinokeo, which comes from the Greek word mokios, which means a male parmer or adulterer. Moschios comes from the Latin masculus, which means masculine. Likewise, the word macho, which is commonly used to describe a ladies' man, means masculine or virile and comes from the same Latin word. You look in the Old Testament, and the penalty for those caught in adultery was death. Given today's acceptance of adultery, some think that God's penalty was harsh. Well, but God hates divorce, Malachi 2:16. And fornication by a married spouse is adultery. Why is this so wrong? Because it destroys families. It's the cause for divorce. Adultery destroys the social fabric, the social institution of the family unit in society. And God's perspective on this is very important for us as Christians. He says that marriage between a man and a woman is an earthly model of the relationship between Christ and the church. And that means that God has a specific way of reminding us of not just the physical act of adultery, but the spiritual act of adultery. I want you to hear what God says about spiritual adultery in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 3. Listen to this outcry, but at the same time as there is an outcry, God is reaching out to bring healing and hope to his marriage, to his covenant people, Israel. It says in Jeremiah chapter 3, if a man divorces a woman and she goes and marries someone else, he will not take her back again, for that would surely corrupt the land. But you have prostituted yourself with many lovers. So why are you trying to come back to me, says the Lord? Look at the shrines on every hilltop. Is there any place you have not defiled or have not been defiled by your adultery with other gods? You sit like a prostitute beside the road waiting for a customer. You sit alone like a nomad in the desert. You have polluted the land with your prostitution and your wickedness. That's why even the spring rains have failed. For you are a brazen prostitute and completely shameless. Yet you say to me, Father, you have been my guide since my youth. Surely you won't be angry forever. Surely you can't forget about it. So you talk, but you keep on doing all the evil you can. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what fickle Israel has done? Look, like a wife who commits adultery, Israel has worshipped other gods on every hill and under every green tree. I thought, after she has done all this, she will return to me. But she did not return. And her faithless sister Judah saw this. She saw that I divorced faithless Israel because of her adultery. But that treacherous sister Judah had no fear, and now she too has left me and given herself to prostitution. Israel treated it all so lightly. She thought nothing of committing adultery by worshiping idols made of stone and wood. So now the land has been polluted. But despite all this, her faithless sister, Judah, has since never returned to me. She has only pretended to be sorry. I, the Lord, has spoken. Then the Lord said to me, even faithless Israel is less guilty than treacherous Judah. Therefore, go and give this message to Israel. This is what the Lord says. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again, for I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice. I, the Lord, have spoken. Return home, you wayward children, says the Lord, for I am your master. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, one from this town and two from that family, from wherever you are scattered. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. Can you hear the heart of God calling back his people from unfaithfulness and spiritual adultery? And likewise, there is hope and healing for the sin of adultery today. God reconciled with his people. Although God hates divorce, including adultery, he demonstrates his love to those who seek his mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness is who God is. If you today are struggling with this sin, you shall not commit adultery. Confess. Cry out to the Lord. He is merciful. He wants to bring healing and hope to your marriage. He wants to knit the hearts of your marriage back together again. He wants to restore trust. Oh, adultery destroys a marriage. It's true. And trust is broken. And there must be healing and reconciliation. Only hope we find is the hope we find in Christ. I want you to hear a song right now of hope and healing. It's from an incredible contemporary Christian group called Casting Crowns. And in this video, there is a marriage in trouble. And the two people involved, the man and the woman, have decided that it's best maybe just to break it off. and maybe even seek a divorce. But the message of this song, instead of separation, we need reconciliation. It is better to live broken together than broken apart. Let's listen to Casting Crowns right now. Song of Hope and Healing from Casting Crowns, Broken Together. As you think about this topic today and consider how our society and culture views the marriage unit, the marriage relationship, there is such a fickleness and such an obsession with sex that so many lives have been broken almost beyond repair, and trust has been eroded. And what God has joined together, the Bible said, let no man put asunder. The solution to the problem of the poison of adultery is hope, healing, and reconciliation. It's setting boundaries in the workplace for the man or the woman to stop and immediately recognize that maybe their friendship is an improper friendship with a female or male coworker. It's when we take this command very seriously and establish boundaries that we stop the poison of adultery before it starts. And society and culture ridicules this as some archaic law, archaic morality. But when you look at what it's done to our culture and the marriage institution, God is right. God is absolutely right. You shall not commit adultery. But for those of us and those of you that have fallen and are hurting, and just like spiritual adultery, God called Israel back to himself, God is calling you to return to him and to find in him a heart of mercy and a heart of forgiveness. I want to thank Ava and all of my good friends in the chat room. Thank you so much for listening today. This has been a rich series, and we're almost finished. We still have the 8th, 9th, and 10th commandment to examine. But I hope that you've benefited from this. Share it with your friends. And remember the heart of God, heart of love and faithfulness to his people that are most of the time unfaithful. Thank you so much. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible weekend, and God bless you.
The curse.